Once again this week, we see in the readings of today from the third book of Kings and the magnificent Gospel of St. John, the resurrection of two of God's children who had died. In the first, it is through the prophet that our Lord raises this child, indirectly but directly through the prophet Elias, and the child that had died, whom in the first place he had obtained for her from God, because she too was barren, as so many are in the scriptures, and then they have the miracle of conception and childbirth. He rose. And again, here we see that the prophet lays on him and breathes on him three times. Of course, three times. The foretelling of the 3 days in the tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ before his resurrection. And thus the child is given back to the mother. In the Gospel, which is one of the most beautiful pericopes of the Gospel, it is the resurrection by our Lord of his very good friend, St. Lazarus. And of course, we need to remember always, even in the most difficult times of our lives and of the church and of this parish or whatever it may be, that God knows what he's doing. He is in charge, not you or I. He is in charge. And so we see here that they send him word, the one whom you love. Now that's interesting. St. John, the beloved disciple, the one whom he loved. Our Lord had his favorites. That's just the way it is. God has his favorites. And among his favors the most are the ones that suffer the most. Suffering is the punishment that we receive from God. He chastises his friends, as he told St. Teresa of Avila. And so, he knew. How could he not know? He is God, the second person of the Trinity made flesh through the instrumentality and cooperation, full cooperation, of the ever-Virgin Immaculate Mary. And so, he knew. He knew before that. He knew at the beginning of the world. He knew before Lazarus was born that this was going to happen. And whatever it is that's going to happen to you and me, today, tomorrow, and in whatever time God allows us to have. And so, he deliberately, as God oftentimes does, deliberately holds back. He doesn't rush to St. Lazarus to cure him before he dies. He holds back. And then he tells the apostles, he is asleep. And they thought, oh, good, sleep is a good sign of healing. He is getting better. Our Lord says, no, because he knew they misunderstood. They certainly could not have understood him, because their imagination was very limited, just as ours is. We don't think as God thinks, we think as man thinks, and that usually gets us into sin. And so they thought he was taking a nap. Our Lord says, no, no, no. Our friend, Lazarus, is dead. And so he still holds back. He wants this to be. This death is not for the end. It is for the glory of God. In other words, for my glory, so that they may believe. And so he goes, and then we have the encounters with St. Martha, who is always eager to do and say things. And, of course, she confesses that he is the Son of God, the Messiah who has come, who was to come into the world, and now he has come. We no longer expect him. He has come. And so he says, he shall rise again. Yes, O Lord, at the resurrection of the dead. Now this tells us something very important. The faith of this family, and of the fact that they were Pharisees And our Lord was a Pharisee also. The Pharisees believed in the Spirit, in the angels, in heaven, in purgatory, and hell. They believed in eternal life. The Sadducees, which was about 90% of the Jews at that time, more so today even, most Jews do not believe in God, do not believe in heaven or hell. It is a cultural, nationalistic thing, which of course is not what our Lord came to establish. And so, they were Pharisees. And she says, yes, I know he will rise again at the resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees refused to believe this. For them, once you died, you were like a dog or a bird or a turtle in the ground, and goodbye forever. No more afterlife. And of course, I know some people think that there is a rainbow bridge and all the nonsense that has been invented by modern man to try to assuage the pain of loss. Well, that's part of life. That's part of original sins and the fomes peccati, concupiscence that we still have, even after baptism. And so, she believed, but she still did not understand. And so he gets there, and he wants to open the tomb. At that time, in the meantime, he sent for Mary. Mary of Bethany, not Mary Magdalene, not the woman caught in adultery, a totally different Mary. And she also did some things that others did, but so what? We do things that others do all the time, and we're not the same person. We're not identical. And so Mary comes out. Again, she says, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. Thou wouldst have cured him and raised him before he died. And our Lord tells her, basically, to have faith, to trust in him. This death is for the glory of God. And so he has the stone command moved. He commands the servants, a 2,000-pound round stone that was moved out of the way. And Martha says, Lord, there is a stench by now. He's been dead 4 days in the tomb. It will be very horrible. There's nothing worse than putrid human flesh. If you have never smelled it, I hope you don't. I have. And I have never forgotten it, nor will I ever forget it. It's worse than any other putrid flesh that exists anywhere else. When we rot to the core. And so, our Lord didn't care what she said. He had his plans, his providence. And so they open it. Whether they smelled anything or not, we are not told by St. John, who is usually very verbose, as we see. That's why the church uses his gospel throughout these days to make us suffer penance, especially me. But anyway, he then cries out very loud, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus stumbles out, all wrapped up in the swaddling clothes of death, the sudarium, the shroud, and his face wrapped up in a separate cloth, just like it would be for Christ, not very many weeks after this. And he comes out. He's alive. He's restored to his family, but he's restored because eventually he and his sisters and some others would be set on a boat without sails or oars. And they would end up in Provence near Marseille, where he would be the first bishop of Marseille, and he would be a martyr. His death would have some significance then. And it would also, as this one, give glory to God. Let us read these words of the Scriptures. Let us learn from these words of the Scriptures. And let us increase our faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.